yourself. Participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6. You have been added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or listen until the host admits you to the meeting. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
Tranship is Piscataway regular meeting agenda, August 10, 2021, 7:30 p.m. Equivalent notice of this meeting has been provided as required under Chapter 231 PL 1975, specifying the time, date, location, or diary information, and to the extent known. The agenda by posting a copy of the notice on the municipal building, municipal court, and the two municipal library bulletin board. Municipal website providing a copy to the official newspaper of the township by filing a copy in the office of township clerk in accordance with the certification by the clerk, which will be entered in the minute. The township continued to use the telephone meeting format in an effort to mitigate the chance of expose the COVID-19 as a part of the township's ongoing effort to slow the rate transmission and avoid overwhelming our treatment center. In order to make sure a clear record of the meeting can be made and that all parties are heard in organized fashion, all members of the public will be muted during the meeting. If a member of the public wish to speak during any public comment portion, please press *9 in order to raise your hand to speak. We will unmute member of the public individually if they have their hand raised. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification that you have been unmuted. It is that time you should begin to ask any question you may have. You will have to 3 minutes to speak, at the conclusion of which you will be muted again, and the council or administration will respond as necessary. Should you have any further comment or question, the Township Council is always available by email and phone, and you can always call to the Mayor's office during the normal operating hours. Each member of the public shall only have one opportunity to speak during each public portion, as the technology does not allow us to know if there are multiple callers on individual line. We ask that if you wish to speak, that you dial in a separate line so that we can recognize you as a separate individual. Individual may also submit written comment to the township clerk up to the 48 hours prior to the meeting, to be read by the township clerk during the public comment portion of the meeting. Said comment will be limited to 3 minutes of the reading. Thank you in advance for your patience as we continue to move the township forward during this health emergency. Ms. Cedar, can I roll call, please?
Councilman Bullard? Councilman Bullard, you need to hit.
Can you hear me now?
Six. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So you're present, correct?
I'm present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Councilman Kahn?
Here.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Here.
Councilman Rouse?
Here.
Councilman Irwin?
Here.
Council President Shaw?
Here.
Mayor Brian Waller?
Present.
Business Administrator Timothy Dacey? Township Attorney Rajveer Goomer?
Here.
Deputy Township Clerk Monica Orlando?
Here.
And I'm here, Melissa Cedar, the Township Clerk.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Please stand for the flag of salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Tim, I'm here. I have a fine self-service.
Timothy Dacey, thank you.
Okay. Item number 5, comment and administration from administration and council regarding adjournment of any matter of this on this agenda.
None, thank you, Council President.
Thank you. Please find the concept what efficiency item may be considered in the consent agenda voted on together. The material for this item have been distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any item the council would like to remove from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Okay. Item number 6, open to the public. Comment regarding item 17, consent agenda item. you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which you make your comment. The council or administrator will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question.
Council President, I'm unmuting the first individual with their hand raised to speak during this portion of the meeting. Hold on 1 second. Last 4 digits, 0570. Please state your name and address. Thank you.
David Akins, Ambrose Valley Lane. Good evening, Council.
Good evening.
On item number 17D for Delta, the sanitary sewer rehabilitation phase 4, is that being subsidized in any way as far as cost, or is that strictly on the taxpayers of Piscataway?
Mr. Akins, I'm going to ask that you make all your statements about the items you're inquiring about, and then after your 3 minutes, you know, if someone wants to respond, they will. Okay?
You want me to ask or just give you the numbers or actually go through asking you questions?
Whichever ones you're inquiring about, you have your 3 minutes, and then if someone wants to respond, they'll respond.
All right. Well, I just gave you 17D for Delta. F for Foxtrot, I for India, W for Whiskey, Charlie for authorizing change of title, and Delta. That's it for right now.
Tim, do you want to take this one? Or do you want me to take this one?
If you may, Council President, I could take the sanitary sewer remediation comes from funds through the sewer utility, and I believe the D Delta, that's the annual Municipal Alliance grant that we receive, and then let me see which else. You also asked about number W. This is to close out the contract for. Kasu Street was a local aid project, DOT project, so Mr. Herrera says they satisfied all the conditions in terms of the contract, and I believe you had number I believe. Let me see which one that was. That's Brotherhood, I believe. This authorized return of inspection fees for a property on Brotherhood Street. And I believe you had the one with the with the street trees also. That's a grant that the that we submit for every year for a contract to put up supplement street trees. And David, one of the problems is we have a lot of the ash trees that are dying that are at the street level that we've had to go in and cut down because they're completely dead. So when we go in and take down the dead trees, the following year we normally replant new trees, street trees. I hope that answers your question.
Mayor, I think I is actually for the uplifting of the police interceptor vehicles.
Yeah, that's normal buying
some of the equipment.
Yeah, we normally buy 4 to 5 vehicles a year, David. We probably won't see the delivery on these for at least 7 or 8 months because of the chip shortage, for computer chip shortages with cars, so we're putting our order in now.
Thank you, Raj. Thank you, Mayor.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. Last 4 digits, 2771. Please unmute yourself and state your name and address. Thank you.
Hi, yes, Evan Shigosky, 280 River.
This is pretty simple. I was just looking at I, and it, that was for the purchase of and upfitting of the four police vehicles you were just speaking of. It says not to exceed $77,089.28. And I was just curious, is that for the complete purchase and upfitting of four vehicles, or is that per vehicle? Because it just seemed kind of low. I mean, if it's for four vehicles, congratulations. That's a great price.
Kevin, this is the township attorney. It's not for the purchase of the vehicles. It's actually for the equipment upfitting of it once it's been purchased. So.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Unfortunately, that would be a great price if we could get
it. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Let's buy more.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Raj.
Okay, it's Tim. I'm back. I was muted for a while.
Okay. Let us know if your call gets dropped again. Thanks. Council President, I have one other individual on with their hand raised for this public portion. Last four digits, 7604. Please state your name and address. Thank you.
Good evening. It's Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway. I just have a procedural question. On the consent agenda, which is what I believe you all are voting on now, there are two resolutions to authorize a public question, which are also having a hearing later in the next two agenda items. So I just have a question. I guess, Mr. Groomer, I'm just not familiar with why you would go ahead and approve the questions prior to having a hearing, or unless everyone's already decided that they're going to vote no.
Is that all the questions you have about the consent agenda?
I'm not sure. I might have another follow-up question based on the information I get from Mr. Groomer.
Okay, well, the statement for now is for 3 minutes now, and then they'll go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Ms. Berger. Those two items, EE and FF, they are separate public questions from the petitions, initiative petitions that are going to follow on items 7 and 8. We can provide the questions. I mean, there's multiple public comment periods, so but I can probably pull up the questions if you want and have them ready for the next public portion period.
Council President.
Thank you, Raj.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves.
Hello, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road. I don't fully follow what Mr. Groomer just said. So there's separate public questions that appear to duplicate the petitions that are going on the next ballot? I really don't understand that explanation. Could you elaborate on that? That's really all I had.
Mr. Brian, you have any other question?
No.
You have 3 minutes.
That's really all I have.
Yes, Mr. Rack, they're not duplicating the question. They're two separate public questions that the council is requesting to put on the ballot by the county clerk. I'm pulling them up. Give me 1 second and bear with me. Of course, my computer's not working great.
Raj, do you need one of us to pull it up for you? Because I think I can get it myself here.
I've got one of them. For the tape one, the question that the council is asking to be put on the ballot is should the township of Piscataway broadcast its township council? Actually, no, this isn't the final version of it. Councilwoman Cahill.
Hold on one sec, Raj.
Cahill.
I have it.
You have
it? Hold on.
Okay. All Perfect. Thank you. So the first one is for the tape ordinance. Is the question is, should the Township of Piscataway broadcast its Township Council, Planning Board, and Zoning Board meetings on PCTV and online when the cost of doing so is estimated to increase Piscataway property taxes by approximately $575,100.63, or will result in a reduction in current services to Piscataway residents? The other question is in regard to the EMS services, and the question being put on the ballot is, should the Township of Piscataway create a new division of emergency medical services when the cost of doing so is estimated to increase Piscataway property taxes by approximately $643,683.27, or will result in a reduction in current services to Piscataway residents?
Thank you, Raj.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. They have their hand raised. 9697, if you can unmute yourself and state your name and address, please. Thank you.
Good evening. It's Charlie Cradiville. I am here in New Brunswick, the editor of New Brunswick Today. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, I think the questions that folks were getting at was more about the sort of order of operations and the procedures with regard to the Faulkner Act initiatives. You're passing a resolution right now to put the question on the ballot before you hold the public hearing. And I guess that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because the law says you're supposed to have a public hearing before the council makes a decision. It's like the first reading of the ordinance is the certification, and then you have the public hearing. This is essentially you're doing it backwards, in my opinion. And so I'd like to hear from your council about that. And I'm also curious about the wording of the question that we just heard, and whether that was the wording that appeared on the petition, or whether the township and the Hoagland firm has done some altering of it or adding to it. And I'm curious, if you did that, why you did that.
You have any more questions?
I think that's probably it for now.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Credible, this is the township attorney. First of all, it's not procedurally improper. If you look, this is just a comment period for the consent agenda. The clerk certification public hearings are actually going to take place prior to the vote on the consent agenda. So procedurally, it is proper. I think I'm sure there'll be discussion as to, you know, why the council is taking this step, but I'll leave that up to the council.
Council President, I just wanted to say, I think, I'm not sure who mentioned it, but this particular portion, just to reiterate, was really the public portion, questions and comments on the consent agenda item, not the council vote, just to make sure that's perfectly clear.
Thank you.
Council President, I have another individual with their hand raised with regard to this agenda item. I'm asking them to unmute themselves. Last four digits, 6386. Please unmute yourself and state your name and address.
Hi, yes, this is Jessica Cradiville, 1247 Brookside Road. I'm really curious how you came to the total cost on $587,000 and change, if I recollect what Mr. Goomer said about the cost to broadcast the public meetings. I was wondering if someone could elaborate as to how that figure was reached with the established broadcasting equipment and capabilities that the township has already, that it seems inordinately high for such a small thing as to broadcast these public meetings, which are not all that frequent. So if you could explain how that figure was reached, I would really appreciate it. And that concludes my question.
Thank you.
Council President, this is Councilwoman Cahill here. To answer Ms. Cradiville's question, in light of the petition that we understood was going around, we really felt it was incumbent upon us to look into, based upon the way the question would be posed, the way in which I believe that the airing of the shows were to take place, and what we would need for personnel that would be like overtime, you know, after hours, et cetera, et cetera. So we enlisted our CFO, actually, and other folks in the administration to look at the draft, to look to see what it is that we would need. That is certainly, I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Raj, an operable item, but we certainly didn't come up with it. We actually asked people in the know to give us an idea of what that cost would be, and we felt it was incumbent upon us to convey that information.
Councilman Cable, I just want to clarify, I know we spoke earlier, is that these documents are still in the draft phase in regard to the estimates. So at the moment, they wouldn't be operable, but I'm sure soon there will be a final estimate produced and available.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hand raised at this time.
Thank you. So I'm closing the public portion, and now we go on item number 7. And same thing for public. If you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted at that time. Please state your name and address, and know that you have 3 minutes in which you make your comment. The council and administrator will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question. Ms. Cedar, can you read this item number 7, clerk certification, please?
Certification of the municipal clerk of the Township of Piscataway, New Jersey, certifying to the sufficiency of petition under NJSA 40:69A-184 ETSEC, whereas on July 12, 2021, a committee of petitioners comprised of Camilla Tillman, residing at 280 River Road, Mindy Goldstein, residing at 208th Street, Juliet Pastras, residing at 9 Juniper Lane, Laura Leibowitz, residing at 102 Stratton Street South, and Stacey Berger, residing at 233 Ellis Parkway, submitted an initiative petition named Transparency, Access, and Public Engagement under NJSA 40:69A-184. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-184, in order for the petition to be submitted to the Township Council, it was required to be signed by a number of the legal voters of the Township of Piscataway, equal in number to at least 10% but less than 15% of the total votes cast in the municipality at the last election in which members of the General Assembly were elected, subject to the restrictions set forth in NJSA 40:69A-192. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-187, the Township Clerk is required to independently review the petition and within 20 days determine whether the committee has complied with the requirements of the law to certify to a sufficient petition. And whereas on August 2, 2021, the Deputy Township Clerk notified the committee of the insufficiency of the petition and informing them of their right to file an amended petition within 10 days correcting the insufficiencies. And whereas on August 3, 2021, the committee filed a secondary petition amending the initial filing with the Township Clerk. And whereas on August 6, 2021, the Township Clerk notified the committee of the sufficiency of the amended petition as required by NJSA 40:69A-188. And whereas under the applicable law, the Township Clerk is required to certify to the sufficiency or insufficiency of the petition or amended petition, as the case may be, informing the Township Council of and presenting to them the ordinance the petition and amended petition seeks the Council's action on. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-190, upon a certification of sufficiency of the petition, the Township Clerk shall submit the ordinance to the Township Council for its consideration. With that ordinance having been deemed to have already had a first reading and required notice, and shall be submitted to the Council for a public hearing. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-191, if within 20 days of the submission of the certified petition to the Township Council, the Council fails to pass the ordinance requested by the amended petition in substantially the same form requested, the Municipal Clerk shall submit the ordinance to the voters, unless at least four-fifths of the committee requests the amended petition be withdrawn. I, Melissa A. Cedar, Municipal Clerk to the Township of Piscataway, hereby certify that the amended petition submitted to my office on August 3, 2021, and reviewed by my office, has met the requirements of the applicable law. And I hereby submit the ordinance contained in the amended petition to the Township Council. With that ordinance having been deemed to have already met the notice requirements of first reading, and shall have a public hearing on August 10, 2021. Council President, I'm asking the first individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves for this public portion. 9697.
Yep, that's me again, Charlie Cradiville. Good evening once again. I want to point out for the record that whoever's controlling the microphones for the meeting is muting everyone as soon as we finish with our initial round of questions. And, it's pretty transparent to me that this is, just part and parcel of your scheme to suppress public comment and public dissent at these meetings. For the record, during your last open public comment, I asked two questions and you answered one of them and ignored the other one completely. It seems pretty clear to me that the Council's already made up their mind and they don't want to pass either of these ordinances, and they don't want the public to pass them either. So you're rewriting the questions to include your own predictions of how much this is going to cost, obviously inflating those predictions to try to sway the outcome of the election, and that's really despicable. And, I would like to hear from you on that, but since you're going to make me say everything I got to say in one fell swoop, I'm also going to respond to what was said at the last meeting with Councilwoman Cahill criticizing me for mentioning that folks can listen to recordings of these meetings at the Piscataway Progressive Democratic Organization Facebook page. And I really exception to that because that is an organization that is doing what this council should be doing, and going out of their way to find a way to connect people with these meetings. During this time where the meetings are virtual, it's something that could be accomplished very easily for you who are recording the meeting but choose not to share the recording with the public unless it's Oprah requested. You're just putting up obstacles to the public engaging with you. We see it or hear it here on these calls, and I'm really as a journalist who covers Piscataway, someone who would, very much prefer being able to watch the meetings online and have proper recordings made of them that are available. So I don't have to hop in my car and bring my camera to council chambers and get this all on video to share with our audience.
You have 20 seconds left in your portion.
Thanks. Well, PPDO should be commended for broadcasting the meetings, and it was, despicable that you criticized me for telling people where to find the recordings of the meeting. So, for shame.
Council President, if I could just, this is Raj Goomer. I just want to clarify one thing for Mr. Cradiville. There's no change to the question. The township and the council has no authority to change the question that's being presented to them in the initiative petition. These are two separate ballot questions that are being added to the ballot. So the Mr. Credible indicates that the township's modifying them, that that is not the case.
Council President, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I appreciate Mr. Credible's comments about how he feels about my comments. I do want to point out, I think it was at the last meeting, that I was talking about civil discourse at one point. It might have been the last of the meeting before, and because I'm not a person who typically wants to go after somebody, I didn't think to even comment back when, and again, I don't have the minutes, but it's in the minutes, where I do believe Mr. Cradwell had some sort of veiled threat against the council or the administration when his back was up against the wall. And having said that, I'll say it again. I feel civil discourse is good, conversation is good, but being bullied around or being threatened is not an acceptable way to have civil discourse. And that is all I have to say, Council President. Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. 7604, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. It's Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway. First of all, I want to thank and congratulate the Committee of Petitioners who have moved this forward, Kamula Tillman, Juliet Pastors, Laura Leibowitz, and Mindy Walsh. I want to thank the Clerk's Office, Ms. Cedar, and Ms. Orlando for their extremely professional approach to all of the requests that we made and the back and forth. They couldn't have been more pleasant or more professional to deal with. We have great public employees in our community, and we thank them. I wish our leaders were as professional and thoughtful as our employees, because Ms. Cahill clearly says one thing and then goes ahead and does another, but that seems to be what everyone is doing tonight. The biggest thanks goes to our voters. Over 1,000 residents signed in support of this common sense proposal, and it's really absolutely atrocious that you all would try to put a bait and switch and try to shamefully try to dissuade people from having access to basic information that every other community in our state, for the almost everywhere else, does this without any issue. So clearly you all have something. I'm sorry, did someone else want to say something during my 3 minutes? Someone else is talking. Clearly you all have plenty to hide, and you're willing to go around and around and around to make sure that people don't know what is happening here. It's a reflection of the way that you have operated. You all were unwilling and uninformed and illawfully prevented me from videotaping a few years ago. And so we have, as a volunteer service to our community, recorded the meetings. And people find them very helpful. We have hundreds of people watch those. But there's no reason why volunteers should have to do it. That is, in fact, what we pay taxes for, and what you have a PCTV agreement with Cablevision and Optimum for, that I believe is up for renewal. So perhaps we should talk about that at another time. However, we're really, we are really behind the times here in Piscataway. The technology and the ability to keep people involved and engaged and informed is an important part of our civic discourse and our civil discourse that Ms. Cahill claims she cares so much about. Our neighbors want this ordinance, and you're resorting to scare tactics and threats of property taxes being increased when you give away $8 million in property tax abatements to for-profit companies and warehouses that are being built next to elementary schools. So clearly what your agenda is to try to put forward a separate question, which I don't even believe is legal, because these are resolutions and not ordinances, and certainly we'll be in touch with our legal counsel to try to make sure that you all follow the law, because you really do often just make it up. The rest of the world has pivoted to streaming and broadcasting before the pandemic, and especially during the pandemic. There is literally no reason why our community, that is made up of talented and dedicated people, shouldn't be informed about what is being planned. You're clearly trying to hide something, and it's incredibly shameful and disrespectful and dishonest. We thank and appreciate all of the work that's been done by everyone to get this ordinance on the ballot in November, and we look forward to seeing it pass.
Thank you. Council President, I'm asking the next individual with our hand raised to unmute themselves. 2771, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. Evan Shigatsi again, 280 River. I just want to congratulate everyone that worked on this. This seemed like a pretty common sense thing. It's not really my thing, petitions and so on and so forth. But it's great to hear that we have the possibility. Excuse me? Oh, my apologies. Great to hear the possibility that we might actually be able to hear and see each other publicly without, you know, having to go to a meeting. We are in that age. It'd be pretty cool without COVID. I would suggest that maybe we look at, we use Zoom now. I think it's a whole whopping $20 a month for a professional account. It'd be a pretty easy way that doesn't cost a few $100,000. I do think it's pretty amazing that you guys feel this will be a successful measure, as you've already gone ahead and priced it out. But what I am confused by, Mr. Goomer, is you said that these prices are, you know, it's not an operable document because these aren't yet final prices, but yet you gave a final price to be put on a ballot measure. So congrats to everyone. I applaud open government. I applaud everyone that worked, and I'm done with my questions. I'd just like to understand where this number came from and how it's not finalized and not operable, but we're going to print it on a ballot. Thank you so much.
Council President, I think I just want to clarify. I do believe that Raj said it would be operable. These documents just are not 100% finalized, and this is part of the discussion in the open to the public portion. So it will be operable once the numbers are finalized. Given the fact that, you know, we weren't necessarily working on a pricing for months, I do believe that this was just a first draft, really, to give us an idea of what that cost would be. And Mr. Goomer can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. I think the administration did a really good job in regard to getting pretty accurate numbers, but the actual document showing the calculations is, you know, with the time constraints, wasn't completely finalized. It's still in draft, and so the numbers are probably pretty accurate, but the actual document, until it's actually finalized, is not operable as it's in draft form being finalized.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves, who has their hand raised. 3167, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Matt Phillips, Canterbury Court. I'm a little confused as well how we can come off half-cocked with this whole idea of giving numbers and then basically using scare tactics to the taxpayers to say this could cost you $500,000 to broadcast something that should be broadcasted, you know, well before today. As Evan stated before, Zoom is cheap, $20 a month. So, and $500,000 a year sounds overly inflated, and it just sounds like a scare tactic to try to scare the residents of this town, the taxpayers of this town, the ones who vote you guys in, which clearly was a mistake, to turn around and scare them into raising their taxes just so that way they can see a town council meeting of the leaders, quote unquote, that they elected, especially in this day and age with COVID, where a lot of the residents are not still comfortable leaving their homes. Because they're afraid that they're at risk and the Delta strain going around. And here we are now using Zoom, and you guys won't even broadcast video. I don't know what you're hiding, but it's really, like, you guys are a joke. Like, I don't understand why we're sitting here having a conversation and you expect people to vote on it, and you're going to come with a half-cocked proposal of how much it's going to cost. Why don't you come to us when you have the real numbers? Why don't you guys actually do some work, then come to us and say, these are the hard numbers. This is what it's going to cost. Not a, oh, well, you can come back later and find it in OPRA. No, that's not how you do this. That's not how you petition or do a bid. if someone sent a bid to the township and said, hey, here's some numbers, but you can come back later and ask us what the real numbers are, you would kick the bid out and you wouldn't let that company or corporation do the work or bid on the work because you would say it's incomplete. This right here is incomplete. That's all I have to say.
Council President, this is Councilman Cahill again. And I don't want to be the voice here if any of the council members certainly want to comment on this. I'd like to address the first part of the caller's question. I do apologize. The audio, I did not hear who it was, so I apologize for not addressing you properly. So a couple of things here. The referendum, which went out and was voted on, and it'll be on the ballot as it was written, didn't include an estimate of cost. And because the nature of this referendum would require additional work hours, actually we would need to upgrade equipment. You know, I think myself, along with other council members, we believe that it was important to include a dollar figure. And to the point about just coming up with numbers, that is not what we said. Our CFO clearly put a lot of work into it with just the amount of time, of course, in which we felt it was important to come up with this. You know, the rough amount is about there. It's enough to have a public discourse on it. We're not talking it's going to sway hundreds of thousand dollars one way or another. They came up with some really, you know, firm numbers based upon personnel, hours, equipment, et cetera. I do believe that I think the referendum, if I'm correct, is looking to have the show aired, I believe it's live, through PCTV, which has an additional cost to it, where if it's not pre-recorded and put up. But all that said, the number here that we are working with and that we can really discuss out loud is a pretty close number, very close number, and the public will have an option to it. The other point that we need to make here is that as a council, we felt it was important that residents are aware of the costs involved. We are all working under 2% cap still, so that will come into play, you know, probably for next year. So a lot of this had to do with that piece of it. Nothing is going to be changed with the petition as it was sent in and certified by Melissa Cedar. This will be an additional question that we'll put out to residents. I will say one other thing is that, again, I just really take exception to the scaling at us to be that we're hiding something. I mean, you're insinuating something that we're doing potentially, you know, that's illegal or nefarious. You've got a council group here of longstanding Piscataway residents who've lived here for years upon years. I myself at 21 years might be have the fewest years here in Piscataway. Folks have raised their children here. They have children in public school now. I really take offense to being accused of hiding something, and it's really unfair to be bullied and in essence for you to accuse of something that you have no foundation to accuse us of, none, not proof of anything. And I for one will continue to want to be civil, have a discourse, listen, but I will not entertain being accused of doing something wrong, not one bit. Thank you, Council President.
Council President.
This is also Councilwoman Lombardi.
And I'd like to also comment on Councilwoman Kay Hill's comment. The people who are accusing us weekly of not being transparent do not want us to be transparent with the voters of the township to what this would take to actually make happen. So I find that very interesting. The ones who are completely accusing us week after week, the same people who want us to be transparent are not transparent with the public as to how much it makes it cost to make things happen. And that's all I'll have to say about that. Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual who has their hand raised to unmute themselves. Last four digits 6386. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, this is Jessica Cradiville again, 1247 Brookside Road. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. So first I wanted to thank the petitioners for compiling the petition and doing the very hard work of going out and knocking on doors and getting those signatures of interested people to make our government easier to access and available to more people than it currently is. And I really want to commend them for going out and doing that. And I do want to say, I did go out and I got one whole petition filled out myself. And would you believe it? A lot of the people I spoke to said, really, they don't already do this in Piscataway. I know they do it in New Brunswick and they do it in other towns. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard. Why can't Piscataway do that for its residents? So I do want to say this is something that the public wants. It's not just me. It's not just Stacy, and it's not just Charlie Cradiville. And I really was disconcerted when I heard Mr. Goomer read the draft of the question that Piscataway is proposing to put up, in my understanding, to counter the question that the petitioners raised, and the number that you're all very confident and put a lot of really hard work into, but can't explain to us at this time how you've arrived at it. And especially the part where you talk about the removal of services. So you're saying that this will cost so much money, we're going to have to take other things away from you in order to have a public government. That's the kind of thing where you're saying that we're bullying you and we're threatening you, but you're threatening us by saying if you want to have transparency in the government, you have to lose other things. And we're not against transparency. We want it, which is why we asked how you arrived at $587,000 for this. And one thing I did also want to mention was the type of programming that you have on the PCTV about The Garage with Steve Butler, Lucy's Big Beautiful World of Painting, Car Guy Channel. You know, I might be willing to lose some of those to have transparent government and be able to participate without having to drive myself across town and sit in a public building for 3 hours. So I want everyone to have access, and I don't think we're asking too much. And your put upon responses to us is really, it's insane. Thank you.
Council President, this is Raj Kumar. I just want to clarify, you know, the backup, the actual calculations that all the council has, the calculations, once the council actually passes it later, if they do, they have the right to request an amendment of the numbers, et cetera. If the council passes it later on, this backup then will be finalized and released and will be operable. So this isn't a situation where the council or, you know, the township is not hiding this document. I wanted to be clear that as of right now, until the council approves and passes the referendum, that, you know, the document is not operable. However, if the council decides that and these are detailed calculations, as I'm sure the public will see shortly, once the council determines that these calculations that they have are, you know, are accurate, and I'm sure they've all reviewed them. They will. This will be an operable document. As I said from the start, you know, it will be finalized and they will be operable.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hi,
Brian Rack.
Yep, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road again. I'd just like to start by saying the council claiming they're not transparent is kind of, the council claiming they are transparent is kind of interesting. I'm looking at the website right now. We don't have meeting minutes since April posted. And I know you're going to come back and say, oh, you can OPR them, but why are those not public? I mean, you can't tell me that you've just forgotten to post meeting minutes since April. And then I'm guessing that the council is going to entirely vote no on this because there's no reason for you to have proposed a separate question if you were going to accept this. So the public comment portion just seems to be a formality here because nothing we say is going to convince you when you've already decided that your other question is the one that you want put on the thing. I don't know. Every time I try and get information from the town, it's like pulling teeth. I'll ask questions on these meetings, and you'll say, oh, file an OPR request, which I do, and then I get the information, but then the information's just available to me. So maybe you should start posting all the responses to OPR requests on the internet. I mean, that seems like a reasonable thing to me, but it's just every time we try and get information out of you, it's like pulling teeth. The very first council meeting I attended was on Zoom, and I asked, hey, why aren't you allowing people to join via the computer? And you said, oh, well, there's privacy concerns, and we can't do that, which seems incorrect because your planning board meetings are on it, your zoning board meetings are on it, every other council's meetings were on it through the pandemic. I don't get it. If you do actually end up voting yes, I'll be surprised. I would suggest that if this ordinance gets passed, that you have Laura Buckley do all your Zoom meetings. She does a wonderful job running the planning board meetings, so this is clearly something within the town's capability already. And she's already there late at night, so I don't see how that would add a significant additional expense here. I think that's about it for me. Thanks.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. I just have you listed as call-in user one. State your
Hello.
Name and address. Thank you. Hello.
Hello. This is Cindy Paglia, 14 Oris Avenue. I actually find really all of this kind of ludicrous, because I guess the amount that you're talking about, which obviously we have no basis for, is something that already is being spent, is what you're saying, by the planning board, as well as, you know, where there are currently Zoom meetings. So anybody in their right mind would know that a Zoom meeting for under 100 participants is actually free. To actually do that, something more, as Evan Tagasi has stated, would be $20 a month. It's not something that's crazy, and it's not something that's ludicrous. You know, to be able to say, hey, we can't do this. So I know people are being defensive, but if you have nothing to hide, then I'm requesting, if you have nothing to hide, then put it out there. Because the other thing you can take is you spent $1 million going after my property. You also have another sewer line going for $217,000 now, where studies are suddenly coming about. You can save that money. You don't need to take a house and steal a house. So, you know, you have $1 million right there. So if you're going to, you know, use this as a tool to be able to say and scare the people, saying, oh, wow, there's a cost out there to do this, you're lying. You are. And I'm sorry, but I'm calling you out on it. That is fraudulent. It's not exactly what it is. And there is no way you can prove that. I guess otherwise, just like we put in a ton of OPR requests and now we have to wait a month because, what, for you to make up data? I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing right now, and it's really sad. So, you know, I'm done speaking, but, you know, take a closer look. If you don't want to be accused of something, then put it out there, because anybody who doesn't have anything to hide is an open book.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. Last four digits, 3910.
Hi, this is John Costello, 280 River Road. I'm in favor of this. Please pass this. It's important that we have more access to these meetings. However, I think it is reasonable to have the cost in the question portion on the ballot, so the residents can make a more detailed and more full decision. And that's basically all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hands raised.
Council President, I just wanted to say that the last resident who spoke, I do believe it was Mr. Costello, that is what we're attempting to do on this. And I think this council pretty much feels that, you know, to get a petition get a referendum on the ballot in this town doesn't necessarily, and I appreciate Ms. Cradville very much that she went out and she put a lot of work into getting signatures signed, but it doesn't necessarily represent the town as a whole. And I'm not going to get into the merits of, you know, whether or not it's, you know, to move forward or not. But regardless, we move forward with, I believe, the energy aggregation program. That became an issue because there wasn't quite the savings that was thought. And, you know, this town is a fairly progressive town, people of goodwill, good nature. I mean, who isn't going to want to sign a petition or vote on something that, you know, makes good sense? But it also, too, makes good sense to share the costs involved. And, again, somebody accused us of hiding something. I'll take exception to that again because it's always mudslinging with absolutely no facts to support it. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. Council President, this is Councilman Khan. I tried to comment earlier, but I got kind of drowned out. If I could just have a few seconds, I'd appreciate it, and then we can move on. You know, there are a number of callers who indicated that you know, we should simply put this on Zoom or live stream this. You know, but actually running government is very different than you know, advocating for a cause, and it's fine and good to advocate for a cause, but eventually government has to be run. I think everybody should read the petition. The petition says broadcast on public service channels, and it's very specific. In other words, the petition didn't say find the least expensive way to give the public access to these meetings. It doesn't say live stream the meetings. It specifically says we want live television of a variety of different meetings. To comply with that, and if the residents of the town vote for that, it does require cost. You have to have equipment. You have to have technicians that are managing it so that you could run a live feed. It's not a Zoom thing where we can have a guy in the back with a phone. If we did that, that would not be in compliance with what's in the petition. So what we did was ask somebody to determine what it would cost. It's hard to believe that any individuals who would argue that they're in favor of transparency would not want the public to know the cost. And this is all going to be public. There's no hidden anything. There's going to be questions on the ballot. The questions will indicate these are your choices, and the questions will indicate what the proposed cost is, and all of the information will be available to the public, and the public will choose. We want this or we don't want this. But the public should understand what is it mean and what does it cost.
And frankly, if the township puts out information and folks that are in favor of this think that the information is not accurate, there'll be plenty of time for discussion and debate and argument about it. And that's what democracy is. They've come to us and said, we want to participate in government. We want to initiate a referendum. They got enough signatures. I appreciate the comment that it was handled properly by the clerk, because I'm sure it was. And the public will have all the information and decide. And people can take positions one way or another. I don't really see why that is such a horrible thing. And why we're being accused of hiding the ball when we're simply saying this is what all of the facts are and this is what it's going to cost. So, it'll all play itself out, and the public will see it and hear it and vote on it, and they'll make a decision. And it'll all be out in the open for all these folks that are arguing that we're hiding something or it's deceitful. That won't be the case, because thousands, not 1,000, but 10,000 residents or so of the town will decide, how we go forward. And we'll see how that works out. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you.
Council President, there's another person with their hand raised. I'm asking them to unmute themselves. 2663, please unmute yourself. State your name and address, please. Hello? 2663? I'm not sure if your device is muted or your phone is muted, but we cannot hear you. Okay, there's no one else with their hand raised, Council President.
Thank you. So item number 7, I want to close portion, public portion. So item number 8, for clerk clarification, to read this. Okay, if you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which you make your comment. The council or administrator will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question. Ms. Schiller, can you read the clip? Item number 8, please.
Certification of the Municipal Clerk of the Township of Piscataway, New Jersey, certifying to the sufficiency of petition under NJSA 40:69A-184 et sec, whereas on July 9, 2021, a committee of petitioners comprised of Ashish Kumar, residing at 7 Simon Court, Michael Diaferia, residing at 118 Shirley Parkway, Jeffrey Redrup, residing at 115 Ellis Parkway, Ozzy Guzman, residing at 119 Elizabeth Avenue, and Michael Clare, residing at 112 Exeter Court, submitted an initiative petition named Improving Township EMS Services under NJSA 40:69A-184. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69-184, in order for the petition to be submitted to the Township Council, it was required to be signed by a number of the legal voters of the Township of Piscataway, equal in number to at least 10%, but less than 15%, of the total votes cast in the municipality at the last election in which members of the General Assembly were elected, subject to the restrictions set forth in NJSA 40:69A-192. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-187, the township clerk is required to independently review the petition and within 20 days determine whether the committee has complied with the requirements of the law to certify to a sufficient petition. And whereas on July 29, 2021, the deputy township clerk notified the committee of the insufficiency of the petition and informing them of their right to file an amended petition within 10 days, correcting the insufficiencies. And whereas on August 6, 2021, the committee filed a secondary petition amending the initial filing with the township clerk. And whereas on August 10, 2021, the township clerk notified the committee of the sufficiency of the amended petition as required by NJSA 40:69A-188. And whereas under the applicable law, the township clerk is required to certify to the sufficiency or insufficiency of the petition or amended petition, as the case may be, informing the township council of and presenting to them the ordinance the petition, amended petition seeks the township council's action on. And whereas as required by NJSA 40:69A-190, upon a certification of sufficiency of petition, the township clerk shall submit the ordinance to the township council for its consideration, with that ordinance having been deemed to have already had a first reading and required notice, and shall be submitted to the council for a public hearing. And whereas, as required by NJSA 40:69A-191, if within 20 days of the submission of the certified petition to the township council, the council fails to pass the ordinance requested by the amended petition in substantially the same form requested, the municipal clerk shall submit the ordinance to the voters, unless at least 4/5 of the committee requests the amended petition be withdrawn. I'm Melissa A. Cedar, Municipal Clerk of the Township of Piscataway, hereby certify that the amended petition submitted to my office on August 6, 2021, and received by my office, has met the requirements of the applicable law. And I hereby submit the ordinance contained in the amended petition to the Township Council. With that ordinance having been deemed to have already met the notice requirements of first reading, and shall have a public hearing on August 10th, 2021. Council President, there are no individuals with their hand raised.
Okay, so I'm closing the public portion. Go on to item number 9. Oops. If you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it's your turn to speak, you have hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have in 3 minutes in which you make your comment. Council or administrator will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question.
Be it resolved by the Township Council, Scattery Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance to Amend and Supplement the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 7, Traffic, Section 40, Control for the Movement and the Parking of Traffic on Public and Private Property, to assert Title 39 jurisdiction on the parking lots located at 475 Stelton Road and 800 Centennial Avenue in the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, was introduced on the 29th day of June, 2021, and has passed first reading, and was published on the 2nd day of July, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on August 10, 2021, be adopted, passed, and after passage, be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2021-18.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have any comment from public person?
Yes.
Any question?
I'm asking the first individual to unmute themselves with regard to this agenda item. Last 4 digits 2771. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, yes. Evan Shigosky, River Road Rescue Chief, 101 Shirley Parkway. I would like you guys to know
that I raised my hand probably about 15 to 20 times in regards to item number 8. I was skipped. So I don't know if anyone else was skipped as well. I initially
no one's hands were
shocked.
Raised. Yeah, no one's hands
I,
were
I
raised when
I
finished
I have pictures
reading
of
the certification.
I apologize. So
I'm,
is
I'm
there
just
any way
saying we have a screen in front of us, so that's we call on. There are several people with their hands raised now, so there's nothing wrong with the system.
Okay, well, I really did try 15 to 20 times. So I don't know, would I be able to speak on that? I do apologize. I understand there's an order. I'm just trying to do the best I can with the technology.
Mr. Shkosky, if you want to make statements on number 7, I think you said item 8, but this is item 8, actually, the EMS.
No, we're on 9.
Oh, we're on 9, sorry. Yeah,
we went to 9, Raj.
If you want to go ahead and just make your statement now, we'll give you the 3 minutes. That's fine.
Okay. I do appreciate that, and I encourage anyone else that might have had issues, and I don't know if they did. It could just be a glitch. Things happen to do the same. This is actually a really cool petition. I think this was born out of some things that have been going on lately. Some members of the community actually came to us, which is the more than I can say in the last half decade that I've been with River Road. So I'd like to thank everyone that came out and asked us, what could possibly be done different. It's just my understanding is this resolution really just created a table for people to talk at. And it really just it put forth just requirements for people that are involved in making decisions of EMS. It didn't actually create a department in the sense of ambulances or response or hire any personnel other than maybe an EMS coordinator, which I welcome because unfortunately I don't know if we currently have an EMS coordinator. The last gentleman that served is unfortunately deceased, and I don't know if he's been replaced yet. So that this would be some good it's a good place to start in my mind. As someone else publicly stated online, it would actually make more sense if we even added more requirements such as collegiate education for these people. So I appreciate everything everyone's done, the reaching out, and it is great. The only thing that I really don't understand is where the $643,000 comes from to have a meeting of really like I don't have the number off the top of my head, maybe 6 to 8 people 4 times a year. It's really all this is people, just sitting down and talking in a forum that's OPMA or Open Public Meeting Act applies to and would, tape or the transparency, I believe, as they were speaking about, that would apply to this as well, which Mr. Khan, they do actually make Zoom bridges where you can take pre-existing equipment and you can plug it in and it will transmit over Zoom as well. I'm not sure how that would tie into PCTV. I'm definitely no expert there, but just as a thought, not ridiculing anything that was said, just honestly a thought. I do know they make it. I just don't know how they exactly work. But back to $643,000. You guys have said this is not a firm number. You are going to publish this number as a firm number on the ballot, which I still don't understand, but we've moved past that. So without criticizing anyone, because I've heard what you said, Ms. Cahill, and we're not here to attack anyone. We all just want to move forward. Based on the people who have come out and spoken to us, I think it is fair to them, as the other gentleman said, to have a number to go along with this. So I'm just really curious how, I believe it was quarterly meetings, how 4 meetings a year is going to cost $643,000. And as chief, I can say that we are excited for the JFK contract. We think it's very interesting to be regionalized.
Seconds left.
Thank you. We would like to work with them. So this doesn't replace anything. It's just a forum to speak. So if that question could be answered, I appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Cedar.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves.
Hello, Brian Ragg, 1247 Brookside Road. This is definitely for Ordinance 9. Can someone explain to me what this actually does? Like, I read the text of the ordinance, but it's not clear to me. I don't understand what Title 39 is. I don't understand how this abandoned parking lot appears to be up for an ordinance. So, yeah, my only question is, like, what does this do for the town?
This is the Central Attorney. Basically, this allows the police to enforce township laws on private property, and certain property owners request us to do it. Certain property owners do not want us, want the police to have jurisdiction on their property. And so this is just that this property owner requested us to do it, and so therefore we are.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves with regard to this agenda item. 1646. Please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening.
Your name and address.
Hello, my name is Daniel Pickett. I'm the president of the Donnell and Rescue Squad. Just here as a supporter, I guess, of the River Road Rescue Squad and everything that you guys are trying to do. Question about number 8. I'm not sure if anybody else had any issues. I myself had issues trying to get through. I know there was a couple of times where I pressed star 9. It was not allowed to speak. I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing the things that you're doing, trying to move forward with EMS. My only concern is moving forward, do you have anyone overseeing this EMS coordinator, as Mr. Chief Shigosky had asked? Is there anybody making sure that the EMS in town is actually looking after the residents in town? And once again, also as Chief Shigosky stated, $600,000 a year, not for nothing, seems quite egregious for 4 times a year. That I would like a little bit more clarification on that. This is President Daniel Pickett. I yield my time.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised regarding this agenda item to unmute themselves. 2663.
Please state your name and address. This is regarding for item number 9 only.
Hello, Ashish Kumar, 7 Simon Court, Piscataway. I was one of the petitioners for item number 8. I also raised my hand, somehow could not connect. So I support this petition primarily because, the decisions about EMS should be made by the subject matters experts, and I don't think that right now we have one. So, having some oversight committee will help us in that regard. And as far as the cost, I tried to raise hand, and unfortunately I was having a little phone trouble. I am in the IT field, and I can tell you that $600,000, I could do a lot with that money. So I just want to be on record to say that I will volunteer my time free of charge to Piscataway Township, and I can guarantee you I can get you half of that price or less to get you connected. Okay? Anybody wants to take me on that offer, please contact me.
Thank you. Thank
you. Council President,
This
is Councilman Khan. Can we, if there are people that want to comment on and go backwards, I would just urge that they speak at the public portion at the end. Otherwise, we're going to continue to just go through every item multiple times, and we can't really conduct an orderly meeting that way. There'll be a public portion at the end, and those folks can comment if they didn't feel they got the opportunity. I'd like to get through the other matters that are important on the agenda.
I agree.
Yeah, Councilman
Khan,
this is the township attorney. That's why I was going to ask is, unfortunately, we gave Mr. Gosky the opportunity, but it looks like everybody's trying to take advantage of it. So we request to anybody that does have comments on number 8 to make those comments on the public portion and focus specifically the comments as to the item that's on the agenda currently.
Anybody have a question regarding for item number 9? Please raise your hand.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves with regard to item 9. State your name and address, please.
Hi,
I apologize. My name is Sophie Walpole. I'm the president of River Road. I do understand we're...
Sorry, ma'am. You cannot talk right now, item number 9. If you want to say anything, you can come back on item number 20, open to the public. Thank you.
I'm asking the next individual, council president, to unmute themselves, number 3167.
Please.
This is regard to agenda item 9. Please
this
unmute
is
yourself.
Public portion. I want to announce first again and again, this is item number 9 only. If you missed the item number 8, you
yeah,
come
hi,
back on
three.
Item number 20.
Yeah, can you stop talking for my 3 minutes? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, you should probably not talk over people. It's kind of rude. But no, I just wanted to comment on the EMS portion too, so I'll gladly wait.
Excuse me. We explained you before also. I'm not taking your time. We are talking about item number 9. If you want to, if you missed item number 8, you can come back on item number 20 for open to the public. I'm requesting you. We are talking only for item number 9. Thank you very much.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves with regard to this agenda item. Last 4 digits, 6386. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, this is Jessica Cradiville, 1247 Brookside Road. I am intending to speak on issue number 9 here. So thank you, Mr. Gumar, for the explanation of what this ordinance is. And my question is, will the township be compensated for the expense of the police having to patrol this private area? And has the solution of perhaps this private property owner building a fence to keep unwanted personnel from their property proposed instead of using the township police department to police their private property, which is not a benefit that most taxpayers receive? In addition, I did want to ask, since clearly the petition had a lot of interested parties and the fact that it wasn't just one person who had difficulty, it seemed to be at least a half a dozen. Will those people have 6 minutes
Ms. Jessica,
to speak at the end?
You only talk about item number 9, please. You have item number 20 for open for the public. Please talk about item number 9. I'm requesting you. Thank you.
Ms. Credible, in regard to your question on what's actually enforced in Title 39, it's essentially, you know, handicapped parking spots, parking in the fire lane, those kinds of violations. If Title 39 authority isn't given, the police department cannot come in and take it or enforce those portions of the parking lots or access roads. So that's what this is for. It's not for, you know, speeding or anything like that. This is for safety issues and those type of ADA regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Raj.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual to unmute themselves. 9697, last 4 digits. Please unmute yourself.
Good evening once again, Charles Cradiville. I have to raise a point of order that, you know, folks are trying to speak on an item and you're telling them that they have to wait to speak until after you make your decision. This was the issue I was concerned about before. Number 17 is where you make your consent agenda, and then you've got item 20 is where you're telling folks to speak on whether or not the EMS ordinance should pass. That's out of order, and you know, that's wrong. They should get the chance to speak before you make your decision. And I just wanted to raise that point of order because I think that they deserve the right to speak. I mean, the one woman, you shut her down before she even said what she was speaking about.
No, she said about item number 8. I did not shut it up anybody. But I request you again and again, okay, we are talking about item number 9. You have a chance for item number 20 to come back and say about public portion. Thank you.
But it'll be too late because you've already made your
decision. Mr. Cradiville, so you're
the public
wrong
hearing is supposed to go before the public hearing is supposed to go before the here.
Yeah.
The public hearing is supposed to go before the vote. Yeah.
Mr. Cradiville, you keep speaking over to me. That's fine. But The public hearing occurred. People didn't raise their hands. Now they're attempting to raise their hands in a separate section. We just asked people to speak in that section. In regard to the consent agenda, which you're trying to conflate, there are two different items between the certification and the petition and the ballot questions. The ballot questions, people did have an opportunity to speak during the consent agenda, open public period, which is number six. So everybody has an ample opportunity to speak on each item before it's voted on. So I'm not sure where you're getting that from, but they had an opportunity in number eight. They did not raise their hands. They can go ahead, and if they want to make any additional comments, they can make them in item 20. But this is the procedurally, we're doing fine.
Okay. I'll just state that if we were using 21st century technology for this meeting, we would be able to see whose hands were raised or not. But because of the choices this council's made, we're in the dark ages here listening on our telephones to the government meeting.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 2663, this is with regard to item number 9 on the agenda. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ashish Kumar again, 7 Simon Court, Piscataway. I just want to second the same point on item number 8. Was such an important point.
Excuse me, that no hands were raised, that's just ridiculous. We explain you. Our attorney also explained you. We are talking about item
number 9. Your attorney is not a technology expert. I'm sorry.
You can come back. We give enough time on item number 7.
I mean, this is what we are talking
about. Mr. Ashish Kumar, item number 7, we have 15 calls. We took every call. Item number 8.
And on item number 8, was
nobody raised
an item and there were no calls? I mean, didn't that surprise
you? Come back on item number 20 as much as you want to.
I can come back at any
time.
I mean, Mr. Shah, that's not the thing. But this is the point you guys are not getting. Okay? I heed my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now I'm closing the public portion for item number 9. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Councilman Khan, offer, please.
Councilwoman King, second.
Thank you. Ms. Shridhar, can I roll call, please?
Councilman Bullard? Councilman Bullard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Aaron?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Okay, we close the portion. Item number 10. If you wish to speak at this time,
I'm going to read the resolution first.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to read the resolution first. Be it resolved by the Township Council, Scataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance Authorizing the Acquisition of Certain Properties Identified as Block 3402, Lots 5.01, 12.01, and 13 in the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, for public purpose, pursuant to NJSA 20:3-1, et sec, was introduced on the 13th day of July, 2021, and had passed the first reading and was published on the 16th day of July, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on August 10th, 2021, be adopted, passed, and after passage be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2021-19.
If you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which you make comment. The council and any minister will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question. And this is public portion only for item number 10.
Council President, I'm asking the first individual to unmute themselves.
Hi, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road again. Is there any changes to the zoning law that accompanies this? I know when the house next to us burned down and they had to rebuild it, they had to go through a whole big process of getting a zoning, I can't think of the word right now. They had to go before the zoning board and talk about it, which was because the road suddenly got closer to their house, so they couldn't rebuild in the exact same foundation. Is that something that's being addressed here, or are we just acquiring a bunch of land and if people want to rebuild or add on later, they have to go through the zoning board?
Mr. Rector, yeah, this is just for the widening of Bakeland Avenue in regard to acquisition, and I guess people are going to get paid for it. In regard to your neighbor, I don't know their specific case, but I assume that they probably needed a variance if they were not building on the same structure or foundation.
They were building on the same foundation.
So
they
may have been changing their floor
variance.
Plan. So then I can't tell you because I'm not sure of what the application was, but usually if you are building on the same foundation, you wouldn't need to get a variance. But again, you know, I don't have it in front of me, so
we showed up at the zoning board meeting to support it, so I'm very confident they needed a variance. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Rack. Thank you, Mr. Raj.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hands raised currently.
Thank you. I'm closing the portion at item number 10 and item number 11. Please, should I read
Council
the
President,
resolution?
Council President, you have to take a motion and a vote.
I'd like to, Council President, I'd like to offer the resolution, please.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Should I can I roll call, please?
Councilman Bullard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes. Thank you. Item number 11. Ms. Shira, can you read the resolution, please?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance for the Acquisition of Rights of Way, Easements, and Land in Fee Simple for the Improvement of International Avenue in Piscataway Township, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, was introduced on the 13th day of July 2021 and had passed the first reading and was published on the 16th day of July 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on August 10, 2021, the adopted passed and after passage be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2021-20.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? It's open to the public. If you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make comments. The councilor or administrator will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question. For item number 10. 11.
Council President, there are no individuals with their hands raised.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Motion, Councilman Irwin.
Thank you.
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Yeah, after that. Oh. Thank you. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilman Ballard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yeah.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes. So we're closing the public portion. So we go item number 12.
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance to Amend and Supplement the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 7, Traffic, Section 29, Mid-Block Crosswalks, being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, as well as by telephonic conference, on the 14th day of September 2021. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you. Do I have an offer?
Councilman Aaron, offer.
Thank you, Mr. Second.
Yeah. Councilman Kahn, second.
Okay, what, please?
Councilman Ballard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes, thank you. Item number 13. Siddhar, can you read the resolution, please?
Be it resolved by the Township Council, Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled, an ordinance consenting to the sale of the project from 800 Centennial Urban Renewal LLC to TA Centennial Urban Renewal LLC, and authorizing the execution of a consent to assignment, an assignment and assumption of the financial agreement among the Township of Piscataway, 800 Centennial Avenue Urban Renewal LLC, and TA Centennial Urban Renewal LLC, be and is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, as well as by telephonic conference on the 14th day of September 2021. Be further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you. Do I have offer?
Offer.
Thank you. Second.
Second. Kahn, Cahill, sorry.
You see, that cannot work.
Councilman Bullard?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw.
Yes, thank you. Item number 14, can you read the resolution, please?
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance for the Acquisition of Rights of Way, Easements, and Land in Fee Simple for the Improvement of Justice Street, Ethel Road, 2nd Avenue, and Centennial Avenue, in Piscataway Township, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, as well as by telephonic conference, on the 14th day of September 2021. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you. Do I offer?
Second, Councilman Irwin.
Thank you, Ms. Sida. Can you roll call, please?
Councilman Bullard? Councilman Bullard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes. Thank you. Item number 15, Mr. Can you read the resolution, please?
Be it resolved by the Township Council, Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance Authorizing Execution of Roadway Easement in Connection with Property Located at 201 Centennial Avenue and identified as Block 6702, Lot 3.02, in the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, for public purpose pursuant to NJSA 20:3-1 et sec, be and is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, as well as by telephonic conference on the 14th day of September 2021. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you. Do I offer?
Yeah, my offer.
Thank you, Mr. Bullard.
Okay, that was my motion. Okay, we have Councilman Rouse with a motion. May I have a second, please?
Councilman Irwin, second.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I roll call, please.
Councilman Bullard? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Kahn?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Irwin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes. Item number 16. Ms. Sida, can you read the resolution, please? Not here.
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, New Jersey, authorizing the execution of a financial agreement by and between the Township and Duke Realty Circle Drive Urban Renewal, LLC, pursuant to the Long-Term Tax Exemption Law, NJSA 40A:20-1, et sec, being as hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, as well as by telephonic conference on the 14th day of September 2021. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you. Do I have offer?
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Ms. Sheila, can you roll call, please? What?
Councilman Bullard?
Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Thanks.
Yes.
Councilman Khan.
Oh.
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi.
Yes.
Councilman Rouse.
Yes.
Councilman Erin.
Yes.
Council President Shaw.
Yes. Item number 17, Consent Agenda Resolution. For FACC, item has been considered into the Consent Agenda to be voted on together. The material for this item has been distributed to the Council in advance of the meeting at this time. Are there any items that Council would like to remove from the Consent Agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Like none. Who have an offer?
Offer, Councilwoman.
Miss Councilman Cahill, one first, and
Councilman Aaron
second. Second.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Bullard. Councilwoman Cahill.
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilman Rouse?
Yes.
Councilman Erin?
Yes.
Council President Shaw?
Yes, thank you. Okay, item number 18, announcement and comment from official. Councilman Bullard. Any comment or announcement? Councilman Bullard. Okay, Councilman Cahill. Hello?
Sorry, none at this time. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. Councilman Mr. Khan.
I have no comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. Councilman Lombardi?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Rouse?
Nothing at this time.
Thank you. Councilman Ahn?
Nothing at this time, Council President.
Okay. Mayor Brian Waller?
Thank you, Council President. I just want to acknowledge my condolences go out to the Zulo family. Dr. Zulo was a longstanding physician here in the Middlesex County, well-known doctor, has several family members that lived in Piscataway. His loss will be greatly missed because he treated a lot of patients and taught over at UMDMJ at that time. So, and my condolences again to the Zulo family.
Thank you, Mayor. Business Administrator Timothy Desi?
Nothing tonight, thank you.
Thank you. Township Attorney Rajiv Gromar?
No comment, thank you.
I have one announcement only that Sunday, September 5th at Fireworks at 8:30 p.m. Thank you. Okay. Item number 19, agenda session for September 14, 2021. Ordinance second reading amending Chapter 7, Traffic Section 729, mid-block crosswalk open to the public resolution, adopting ordinance. Any question? Comment or question?
Thank you.
Thanks. Ordinance second reading consenting to the sale of the project from 800 Centennial Urban Renewal LLC to TA Centennial LLC and authorizing to exclusion of a consent to assignment and exemption of financial agreement among 800 Centennial Urban Renewal LLC, TA Consent, Centennial Urban Renewal LLC and the Township of Piscataway, open to the public resolution adopting ordinance. Any comment or question? Like none. Ordinance second reading. Acquisition of right of way easement and land of free stamp fees simple of the for the improvement of Justice Street, Ethel Road, Second Avenue, and Centennial Avenue open to the public. Resolution adopting ordinance. Any comment or question? None. Ordinance second reading authorizing exclusion of roadway easement in connection with property located at 201 Centennial Avenue, Block 6702, Lot 3.02, open to public. Resolution adopting ordinance. Any comment or question? And none. Ordinance second reading authorizing exclusion of financial agreement between the Township of Piscataway and Duke Realty Circle Drive Urban Renewal LLC, open to public. Resolution adopting ordinance. Any comment or question? Okay. Motion accept the report of clerk account July and August 2021. Second one, motion accept report of Division of Revenue August 2021 and month and motion receive and enter in the minute disbursement for the month of August 2021. Any comment or question? Thank you. Item number 20, open to the public. If you wish to speak at this time, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear an announcement that you have been unmuted. At that time, please state your name and address, and you know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comment or question.
Council President, if I may just make a comment, this is the township attorney. Just wanted to clarify, I think there's a misunderstanding from some of the callers that the council is blocking or voting against the petitions. I just want to make it clear that that's incorrect, that the public, now the public hearings have been completed, that the two petitions are going on the ballot in November, that no council action needs to be made in order to put those questions on the ballot, and as the council is not taking action today, that will occur.
Council President, I'm unmuting the first individual with their hand raised. 7604, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. It's Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway. Raj, that may be true that the council doesn't have to take action, but the council could. They could adopt the ordinance themselves tonight, and then that would solve a lot of our problems because the people would know what is happening in our community. I would like to know from Mr. Goomer or whoever else might be familiar, since everyone seems to have done a lot of due diligence on this matter, what the statutory citation is that allows the township to put either a binding or non-binding referendum on the ballot, and if you could clarify whether the question is a public question that is binding or is non-binding. And that is the entirety of my comments, so you can have my time back for someone else.
Thank you, Ms. Berger.
Ms. Berger, the statute is NJSA 19:37-1, and it's a non-binding question. I think that should answer both your questions.
Thank you, Raj.
Council President, I'm unmuting the next individual with their hand raised. Last four digits, 3167. Please unmute yourself.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Matt Phillips, 11, or Canterbury Court. Talking in regards to the EMS resolution that is up back in August 13, 1986,
President Reagan stated, the most nine terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Let me just tell you guys, I'm terrified of the Piscataway Township government. First of all, just in this meeting tonight, the council president doesn't even seem to know the proper order of a meeting. He's been corrected numerous times. I think that's a joke, number one. Number two, his attitude towards the taxpayers of the town, which, by the way, are all of your bosses, is atrocious. So I'd like to make that known. But in regards to the EMS portion itself, I think that it's also horrible that there is nobody overseeing EMS to make sure that it is the best that can be served in the town. Instead, we just hand off contracts to whoever bids, Robert Wood, JFK, whomever, and just let them have free reign and not have any oversight. I also think it's a joke that we have a self-proclaimed public safety director that only made himself that, so he gets a cool little car with lights and sirens and his own radio call sign, like M1, who has absolutely no education or experience in fire, EMS, police, anything, so has no right to be in that position other than the fact that abuse power. And I think that it's common sense that there needs to be some oversight for EMS. I also think it's horrifying that you guys just took it upon yourself to send out a RFP to take over 24/7 coverage and not, at least reach out to the existing township EMS departments first, one of which is taxpayer funded, and discuss with them what they would like to see, what they would like to do, how they can help, and what they can offer. But then again, this is nothing new with our current mayor. Because he's always tried to undermine the volunteer departments and the volunteers of this town, mostly so the EMS departments, because his son's on the fire department. He won't undermine them. But we can't forget when he tried to disband District 2 Fire Company after Holmes Marshall Fire Company got burned down. So that's always interesting. But anyway, getting back to EMS, I think we need better oversight, and I think we need a new public director as well. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 2771, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. I greatly appreciate it. Evan Shigasi again. Honestly, at this point, I don't know what address to give. I don't know if I want to talk as a resident or as a chief officer. I guess take the comments as they apply. Hopefully they don't get misconstrued. I would greatly appreciate an answer as to where the $643,000 could go in order to support four meetings a year. I'm still at a loss on that. I do appreciate the time to speak earlier. The council president stated that an answer would be given if needed. I believe this requires an answer. That aside, there's due diligence. So many different clauses out there, whether in promulgated law, whether it be CFR, whether it be or Code of Federal Regulations, whether it be a New Jersey state statute, whether it be just a local residence, there's general duty clauses, things of the such. Someone came to you and told you they had an issue logging into this call. There are issues with technology. It does happen. I appreciate the ability to talk. I do not appreciate the fact that people came after myself, residents, people apparently that are volunteers as well within the town, and they were yelled at by the council president and told they can't speak. It would have been very simple to just figure out between 8 and 9 and then move forward. There was obviously an issue, and you set a precedent by allowing two people to speak in a row. I just don't understand. If I went to work and I did something like this, I would be in a world of hurt, because there are statutes and laws that govern what I do, and I would be, doesn't matter. It's very, very upsetting. So again, $643,000. I don't understand. And I would really just like some enlightenment. Maybe there's something I just don't know about, because this does not create any new positions that don't already exist. It's literally just a meeting, and I can speak on behalf of River Road. So this is the chief's hat right here. We would love to work with JFK. They have a lot to offer, and they've offered things over time that the previous contractor never did. So we really do look forward to working with them, and we look forward to hopefully taking advantage of this venue to speak. And speak with our peers as well and to move forward. That's really all I have, $643,000. If someone can explain to me how that's divvied up, even in a gross way, I greatly appreciate it. I yield my time.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm unmuting the next individual with their hand raised. Please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Sophie Walpole, President of River Road. I am also just curious as to where the $643,000 number is coming from. And I would appreciate an answer.
Thank you.
And this is the attorney again. That document will be operable shortly. So, you know, everybody will see those calculations, you know, that being calculated by the township professionals.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 3248, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Good evening. This is Dr. Tom Connors, 34-year resident of Piscataway, and I reside with my family at 10 Seward Avenue. I want to thank the Township Council for all your service to our town. On the topic of broadcasting meetings and being transparent, whether it's Item 7 or Item 17FF, I feel that there's a lot of confusion in our town about what people are after. For me, it's pretty simple. People are, they want open lines of communication with the people that they elected as their public officials. They want open communication with you, Jim, you, Frank, Gabrielle, Michelle, Steve. Congratulations, Mr. Rouse, you, Brian, and you, Kapil. Tonight seemed to had lots of discussions on these items 17FF, and before we discussed item 7, the tape ordinance, it seems to me that the cart was put a little bit before the horse. But the resolution, 17FF, authorizes a public question for 2021 November general election ballot with a cost proposal that reading from what I heard, it's going to create fear that it's going to cost taxpayers money to broadcast these meetings, whether it be $500,000, I know whatever the figure was. My question is, and this is not to poke at anybody, but I've been here 34 years, and my question is, how much does PCTV program Ion Piscataway already cost the taxpayers? You know, why can't you broadcast council meetings and afford the same taxpayer allocation for that program for broadcasting your meetings? If your budget's $80 million and it's $500,000, that's 0.6%. I think you're being pretty fiscally responsible and people can live with that. Just think about it. When you go after this meeting, and it seems like it's already a foregone conclusion and it's just going to go straight to the November ballot as question. But being fiscal responsibility, you know.
Mr. Connors, you have 20 seconds.
All right. Well, lastly, it's just what people want is open lines of communication. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connors.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 9697, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Evening once again, Charles Cradiville.
On May 15th, 2018, Piscataway Police Officer Todd Ritter pleaded guilty to falsifying public records. 3 days later, hundreds, if not thousands, of Piscataway Police Department records were taken ransom in a cyber attack, and many were never recovered. I brought this up now 3 council meetings ago, and your attorney told me to take that discussion offline, and offline he told me a bunch of stuff that wasn't true. He told me that all requested records had been recovered. But at the same time, I was having conversations with the Piscataway Police Department, specifically Sandra Wiley, the office manager. She told me on June 17th, quote, the PPD did suffer a ransomware attack, and to my knowledge, a small percentage of records were able to be retrieved and others not. At this point in time, the PPD does not expect to have any of the missing MVAs retrieved, meaning motor vehicle accident crash reports. This is in response to an Oprah request that I had made. And, when I started to interrogate and question the disconnect between what the police were telling me and what your counsel told me, your counsel shut down and stopped answering questions altogether. The public deserves way, way better than this. We deserve answers about this cyber attack and just how many records you lost forever, still being held for ransom more than 3 years later. It's my understanding it's 15 months worth of records that were taken ransom due to the township's poor cybersecurity and lack of proper backup procedures. Can we hear from the public safety director, who many people might not know is also the mayor, Brian Waller? Throughout all of our discussions at the council, he hasn't said a word about this. When are the people of Piscataway and the people of Middlesex County going to hear from this double-dipping public official about how a cyber attack happened on his watch? He's the director of public safety, and he has not answered for this. There's concerns about prosecutions, whether or not chain of custody was part of the records that were that vanished. And I think there's real questions about
you have 20 seconds left.
And there's real questions about whether this is connected to that crooked cop, Todd Ritter, who not only falsified records, but also assaulted someone and lost his job over it and pleaded guilty to a crime. Mayor Waller, do your job, speak up, and answer the questions about this devastating cyber attack and what it's done to Piscataway and the police department. We deserve to hear from you on this.
This is the township attorney. I request the administration and council not to make any comments on this. Mr. Cradiville has actually filed some litigation against the township in regard to this issue. And as a pending litigation, I request the council and administration not to make any comments. I will say just simply, and I don't want to go into it because of the pending litigation, that some of Mr. Cradiville's statements are inaccurate at best. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 1646, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hello. Once again, this is Daniel, president of the Denali Rescue Squad. I would like to say that listening in on this meeting, being a single father looking for a house in Piscataway, this is actually an eye-opener. The town council is unorganized, very unprofessional, and I may not be looking to look for a house in the township anymore, unfortunately, if that's how you treat your residents. Regarding the EMS item number eight, there's been multiple requests for someone to respond to, do you have an EMS coordinator? Where are you getting the money from? And there has been zilch, nada. I find that egregious. I find that unprofessional. If the council cannot provide what the people are asking, then say so. It's not a problem. Nobody's going to hold you really that much accountable. We would like to know the transparency. That's all they're asking. That is literally it. They want to know, where do you stand on this issue? What is the progress? If progress is being made, you have made zero attempt to satisfy that hunger for knowledge. So you have angry resident. And then you want to sit up here, and I'm going to call out the council president, be quite disrespectful. I'm sorry, but if that's to sway me to become a voter in your next election, congratulations. I wouldn't be voting for any of you. I'm the township of the Nellens Rescue Squad president. My name is Daniel. I yield my time.
Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. Please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jessica Cradiville, 1247 Brookside Road again. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
I just wanted to speak on the council president cutting off the people who were interested to speak on the item agenda number item 8. When there was clearly a technical error when multiple people said that they had been attempting to call in and speak on the issue. It was a public, it was a petition submitted, so it's more likely people are interested to speak on that. And for the council president to allow two people to speak and then start yelling at people who were interested to speak after that, who claimed to have the same technical error, I think it's really inappropriate. And I wanted to add, I don't know if you all realized, we had 30, 45 seconds, maybe a minute of extremely loud feedback noises to and from occurring from the counselors, the people who cannot be muted by the public. And it shows a level of technical expertise that would expect there might be an error, and to allow those people who were claiming that there was an error and that they were disallowed from speaking on an issue that they were passionate enough about to go out and have people sign a petition, I think it's really, really rude. And you're saying that you're okay with transparency. You want transparency. You have nothing to hide. You won't let those people speak. I think it's really, really unfortunate. And it's not a good look. Honestly, if you're trying to say that we're bullying you, you yelling at people and not letting them speak because of a technical error committed most likely on your behalf, it's really, like, I don't know what to say about it. So I just want to say that it would be really nice to have an answer to that question, that all of those EMS people who work really hard and volunteer on our behalf want to know the answer to, where did you come up with $643,000? And, oh, also you lost all of our police records. If you could work on that too. I know it's a subject of litigation only because you're not being transparent about it. If you were being transparent, we would know the answer and no one would have to sue you. So thanks so much. Have a great evening. I yield my time.
Thank you, Ms. Jessica.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. Last four digits, 1888. Can you please unmute yourself?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you.
Good evening. Sorry about that. My name is Darrell Williams. I'm at 57 Wood Lake Drive, and I just wanted to comment on number 7, which was, I wanted to build off or piggyback off of what Dr. Connor was saying earlier. You know, as a resident, I just want access. I want access to our council members. And I think that it's unfortunate that we needed a petition to get this this subject of just moving these meetings to Zoom video forward. Although the petition may have not been perfect, it seems like I would assume that the Piscataway TV portion of it must be where the bulk of that $500,000 cost resides, I'm assuming. So it seems as if that portion the Piscataway TV portion of that petition will be used to sway the residents, because that's where the cost is. So that's my comment. But again, it's just unfortunate that we have to go through all this just to go to Zoom. I personally don't care to watch it on Piscataway TV. I would like to watch it on Zoom and participate on Zoom. And honestly, it'll be easier to raise my hand and unmute the phone. The question I have is, do any of our council members host or offer any question and answers, any sort of forum prior to these meetings, so that we can talk to our council members prior to these meetings and figure out what's going on and voice our opinion prior to these meetings?
Council President, just to clarify, I think every council president has a published telephone number. Also, our addresses are published too, so there is accessibility that way to the public via phone. Also, written letter too, but I know most people use phone nowadays.
Yes, this is Councilwoman Lombardi. We are all available by phone. I field several calls per week speaking with residents on various issues and have no problem whatsoever getting back to any of the residents on any of the issues.
Yeah, this is Councilman Irwin. I also deal with a lot of residents during the week with phone calls, and our numbers are all listed on the website too.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves.
Hello, Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road. As usual, I haven't moved. To address that, does the council have email addresses? Do they respond to emails? Like, I don't always have time to pick up the phone and have a 15-minute conversation with someone during business hours. I mean, I think that's kind of ridiculous to say, oh, you can call us, but we're in the year 2021, but you can't email us. On that note, I was wondering if the town had any plans to upgrade off of Microsoft Exchange 2007. That's currently 14 years old, has been end of life for over 4 years at this point. I don't know what kind of software you're running, but most of my software needs security updates more than once every 4 years. Maybe that's why you got ransomware? I really don't know. I was wondering if you could address the costs of enforcing the parking laws on private property. Mr. Goomer tried to sidestep that by talking about what kind of laws would and wouldn't be enforced, but nobody said, hey, it's going to cost us X thousand dollars to do this, but you were all over talking about those costs for transparency and broadcasting public meetings. I would ask that the council president actually stick to the agenda this time and not allow the mayor his unofficial rant after the public section. I know that's usually how it goes, but I don't see it on the agenda, and he was very focused on the agenda earlier. Let's see. So, if we lost 15 months of police records, that's 0.4% of the police budget, but we're concerned about the cost that it'll cost $500,000 to broadcast the meetings. So the police department this year has a budget of $12 million. The cost to broadcast the meetings is, I'm sorry, I misspoke earlier. The cost of to broadcast the meetings versus the police budget is 0.4% of police budget. So, I don't know, maybe a better use of our time would be broadcasting the meetings rather than paying the police to do reports that we got lost and I don't know. I was wondering if the town had also updated their best practices questions to the state. I know they said they were going to. I never heard back from that. I also note that we have not had a anti-nepotism policy listed on the agenda since then. So apparently we've just decided that having it in the handbook is fine and we don't actually need an ordinance on that. I mean, I would think that would be a pretty straightforward thing. If the state's asking for the towns to have anti-nepotism ordinances, but we haven't managed to do that, that seems kind of ridiculous to me. And then I was wondering if you could elaborate on which of Charlie Cradiville's comments were incorrect, because I mean, you made the statement that some of them were incorrect, so
you have 10 seconds left, Mr. Rack.
By my clock, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'd be curious to know which of Charlie Cradville's statements were incorrect. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Rack, this is the town attorney. Because of the pending litigation and that encompasses, you know, those issues, you know, I'm not going to make that statement and go into detail about that. Thank you.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. 0408, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gabrielle Kaur, 321 2nd Street. I'm the Vice President of the Denali Rescue Squad, and I want to start with an opening comment of I'm not impressed by this council, and I'm not impressed by the way it has represented the people of Piscataway, and I'm not impressed by the manner it is used towards the past taxpaying residents. And I want to follow up with another comment regarding item number 8, which includes that the volunteers of River Road Rescue Squad take on the noble EMS cause. It works very hard and sacrifice their time and life energy towards serving the community of Piscataway. And I also want to have a follow-up question concerning item number 8, which is where is the $640,000 going? And I was told that there is going to be a document, but I want to know where and when that document is going to be accessible. Thank you.
Thank you.
As the council passed the resolution that's based on the document, it should potentially be operable tomorrow once the final form is issued.
Council President, I'm asking the next individual with their hand raised to unmute themselves. Please state your name and address. There seems to be a lot of static. Please state your name and address. There seems to be a lot of static on your line, so I just don't know if you can hear us, but we cannot hear you.
Maybe that one better.
Council President, there are no other individuals with their hands raised.
Thank you. So I'm closing the public portion at this time.
Thank you, Council President. I thought it was very interesting tonight that about 90% of the folks that called in were all tied in with the Progressive Club here in town. They've either run for office before or are currently running for office or want to run for office. You know, the council and myself go to great lengths to make sure the town government is run financially, fiscally correct. And you don't get to be a AA plus community by Standard & Poor's audit, by not watching over the dollar and cents. We have a great community here. We have programming for seniors who are nationally recognized by AARP. We have a great recreational program. We're improving the infrastructure of our community as we should. We've built a wonderful community center with no impact on the taxpayers. And we're continuing to move forward on bringing jobs into our community and making our town fiscally stable, unlike some of the other communities during the pandemic, notably Bridgewater next door, who had to bond out for operating expenses. So I find it interesting that with these two referendums that are being proposed by the progressives, that they don't want to let the residents know what the potential cost is of it. Now, this is the same group of folks, Stacey Berger, Tom Connors, Bill Irwin, Ralph Johnson, whoever else in the candidates run for office, all promoted the energy aggregation the last go-around in 2019, saying the ratepayers are going to save an awful lot of money if we go this route. And to Mr. Cradible's argument, who now is a lobbyist for Food and Water Watch, tied in with Mrs. Berger, who's a high-density lobbyist out of Trenton, the only debacle here was the debacle of the aggregation referendum that you hoodwinked the township residents about. Approximately two-thirds of the residents have opted out of the aggregation because they've seen their bills skyrocket because of your incompetency. And so it's in the interest of the council members to make sure that the residents know the impact of a referendum that is being promoted by these folks. We do have a cap expenditure that 565 towns in the state of New Jersey have to abide by, including all 21 counties. So simple math, if it's over the cap, you have to cut something. That's the bottom line. You could check with any finance officer in the state of New Jersey, DCA. This is not being made up. And I think it's disingenuous of the 90% who are on the call tonight to suggest that the town government is not looking at the finances. Again, we have a AA-plus stable town rated. There's probably maybe three dozen towns in the entire state of New Jersey that have that rating financially. And that is because of the great stewardship of the township council members and the finance department and myself. And as far as the one gentleman attacking my son because he's a volunteer fireman, listen, we have thick skin in the Waller family. I'm used to Stacey Berger and the progressives attacking my wife. As a matter of fact, Tom Connors verbally attacked her at the 4th of July parade when she was standing talking to somebody on their lawn. And to Mr. Cradible with the conflicts, I think his nickname is Conflict Cradible. I don't know which hat is he. Is he wearing the lobbyist hat? Is he wearing the reporter hat? Is he wearing the party leader hat? Is he wearing the candidate hat? So that is legitimate. I mean, you know, it's just they've attacked all my children, which is fine. They're used to being attacked because it's part of the game. It's fair game. It's called free speech. They've even attacked my two labs, Duncan and Cap. And they have also now are griping because I replaced my 40-year-old driveway. So it's very disingenuous when these folks get on here and harangue the council members in and out. All I can say is that we do have thick skin. It goes with the territory, being an elected official. But you know what? When we go to point out the inaccuracies of what you say, all of you go crazy about it. We're not allowed to voice our opinion. Our opinion doesn't count. We're not allowed to say anything. That's incorrect. And to the gentleman who lives in Allen, we pay substantially less in taxes than you do. I'll take our tax rate any day of the year over the borough of Dunellen. As a matter of fact, the prior mayor wanted to merge Dunellen back into Piscataway because of the tax savings. So I respectfully disagree with his assessment of Piscataway Township. We have a fine community in here. We have a lot of people who really take heart to serve the community. And I think it's downright disgusting sometimes that some of these folks who are running for office are basically either attacking the employees or attacking the volunteers. You know, we're expected as officials to be have arrows slung at us for good or bad, but not to the volunteers. I'm sorry. I just totally disagree with that. As a matter of fact, I think during the last election, both during the primary and the general election, overwhelmingly by 3-1, the residents, 70% voted and 70% reelected Cahill, Shaw, and McCollum and myself, because they appreciate the dedication that we do for the township residents. And as several of the council members said tonight, we're always available, always accessible, and we field a lot of calls, see people throughout the community. And you know what? No matter what you say, we do have a great, great township. It's just like, you just don't like living here. That's the bottom line. So with that, Council President, I want to wish everybody a balance of the August. Enjoy the rest of the weather. And as Council President Shaw said, we look forward to seeing the fireworks, and hopefully the pandemic won't get any worse and impact that. So thank you, Council President.
Can I have a motion to adjourn? All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Goodbye.